day for the world, because then there will be it would put the whole exercise into extreme jeopardy.
This summit here in Marrakesh, Morocco, is being held on the continent of Africa. The significance of this, Nimmo Bassi, you from Nigeria.
You know, people have called this the African Cup. And my question is, why didn't you call it Durban Cup, African Cup?
The Durban South
Actually,
Africa
this
Cup.
This is COP 22. For us, it's like Cash 22. Because either direction, Africa is going to lose. The rich countries are forcing the process to go in the direction of polluters continue to pollute without stopping pollution. And if polluters continue to pollute, no matter how much money anybody makes from carbon trading, from carbon offsetting, like reducing emission from deforestation and degradation, all the other marks of market environmentalism, is not going to add up to actually reducing the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, which means the temperature is going to rise. Right now, countries have put on the table what they call nationally determined contributions. And from the Paris Agreement said we are aiming at 1.5 degrees Celsius temperature increase or well below 2 degrees Celsius. We don't know what well below 2 degrees means. But from what the nations have said they're going to do, the world is set for over 3 degrees Celsius temperature increase. And that means setting Africa on fire.
Before we wrap up, my condolences on the death of some great Nigerian activist, Ken Wiwa, the son of Ken Sarawiwa, who pioneered the fight against Shell Corporation, crisscrossing with pipelines Ogoni land in Nigeria, and also Oronto Douglas.
Oh, yes. We've lost real great comrades and great fighters. And you know, Ken Sarawiwa was murdered by the Nigerian state 23 years ago. And just a couple of years ago, eventually, the United Nations Environment Program validated all that he was campaigning about. And now his son, Ken Jr., he just made a feature in a documentary on Nigeria's environmental crisis and climate crisis. And now he's passed away. And of course, my friend and brother, Oronto Douglas, all very painful.
Nimmo Bassi, I want to thank you for being with us, Nigerian environmentalist activist. He is the author of the new book, Oil Politics. That does it for our broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman from Marrakesh, Morocco.
Come listen to our radio show.
Mixtape Radio, every Wednesday night at midnight.
Until 3 a.m. Thursday morning.
Featuring the newest and the best in indie, alternative, and experimental music.
With your hosts, Jeff.
And Christine.
So tune in. It's really gonna go.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Attention listeners! I'm Al Gore, and you're not. Global warming, it may seem like an impossible problem, but the Arctic ice is melting, storms are becoming fiercer, the resulting climate change is upsetting invaluable ecosystems, and the pollution is damaging our health. But there is still time. People like yourselves can change their daily habits to make a difference. For more information, go to www.fightglobalwarming.com. Once again, I'm Al Gore, and you're not.
Something to be thankful for. It's 6:01. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time for Off the Wall.
Thank you.
And a very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Manuel Goldstein here, joined by Kyle.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. It's election day. I'm hoping everybody gets out there and votes. I had the worst nightmare, The most horrible dream that not enough people got out and voted, and we were plunged into... I can't even describe it. We still have time. There's still time, Kyle. We can still do something. Get out there, people. Get out there and vote.
No.
Run to the polls now. Come on. Hurry up. Don't stop for red lights. Just get there. Get there quickly. Make it stop. Make the nightmare stop.
It was last week. That was last...
I know it was last week, Kyle. I know.
Can you hear me? Is this...
I hear you.
Is this on?
I hear you.
No.
You're the voice of reality.
We voted.
I hear you.
It's over.
Oh, I know it's over. But... You know, all these kids shows and books and things that tell you all you have to do is wish really hard for something and it happens, they're all lies. They're all damn lies because I've been wishing so hard, and it just keeps coming out the same way. Every day I wake up and somebody says those three words. Well, I don't know if it's one of them's hyphenated, so I don't know if it's two words or three words. How does that work? Does anybody know? Is it two words or is it three words? Can we get a straight answer around here? President-elect Trump. Is that two words or three?
President-elect Trump. That's three words.
Is it three words?
That's
okay, it's good to know that. It's good to
words.
Know something. It's good to know something makes sense.
Yeah, I think that's three. Yeah, you got that. Nothing makes sense. What are you talking about?
Oh, okay. Now nothing makes sense. Good. Okay, I'm glad. I'm glad somebody finally agrees. Two people agree. Nothing makes sense. Well, so, now, what do we do with that? How do we bring that to the bank? What do we do next?
I said my piece. I'm just getting warmed up, but, you know, I said as much as I could say.
Dude, you're going
to live in the now,
you
man.
Have to get fired up, not warmed up, because there's a lot ahead.
I heard about that. I heard I should not just be warming up.
Wait, what was that? Not what?
Warming up.
Why do you say it like that? For God's sake.
Warming up.
Warming up. Say it like a human being. Boy, that annoys me more than it should. Don't ever say that again. Thank you.
I understand. It's a difficult time.
It's a difficult time. What the hell happened? What happened, Kyle?
Why are you asking me?
I'm asking you because... Well, because there's no one else to ask right now. Most people have already packed their bags and left. I don't know where they went, but...
What happened was the thing that we never wanted to really think about.
I'll admit, I thought of... No, we even asked a question here on the radio a few weeks ago.
We tried.
What would happen? What would it be like?
We tried to think about it.
And it was hard. It was hard to take seriously. It was hard to answer the question. And, you know, deep down inside of me, there was a part that was curious. What would it be like? But nowhere did I think, and I attribute a lot of this to the media and to the pundits and the experts who said that this isn't going to happen. I just sort of didn't take it seriously when I guess I should have taken it seriously.
We had moments where we were more alarmed and taking the thought of this... three-letter phrase or statement as a possibility, as we were taking into consideration, but it wasn't, it seemed too far-fetched, mm-hmm, too surreal,
yeah,
if you will. But hey, now we have all sorts of other things to imagine and a future to look forward to.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm sure there are people who think we're overreacting just a bit. And I suppose there's something to be said for that, maybe things aren't quite as bad as we might be making them out to be. I don't know.
I think people...
I'm open.
People kept saying, and I think this goes along with what you said about the media, like that there was this better part of America, of the electorate, this thing that would be there, that would pull through,
uh-huh,
that there's conscience in this country, and that we would go out and declare the rightness, the good natured, appealing to that sensibility through the ballot, goodness would prevail. I think a lot of people thought that was the big surprise. That would be the ending after we voted. But when you added it all up in the places that count, we're left with simply an alternate outcome, a different point of view. And I think a lot of people have been grappling with that as a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of grappling going on out there. I don't know. If you look back on it, the warning signs were there. We were basically talking to random people, and we noticed a few things that were a little, I don't know if disturbing is the right word, but just kind of concerning, I suppose. It just seemed like people you would expect not to be in favor of Trump around here were in favor of him. And I'm talking about people who come from different places, people with Mexican heritage, Muslims even, you know, people from everywhere, from Mexico to Honduras to Afghanistan, places like that, basically saying positive things about Trump. Now, I don't know if it's because of fear, because, you know, we're talking about tradespeople, we're talking about people who come in contact with the public on a daily basis. Maybe they come in contact with so many pro-Trump people, they know that if they say anything anti-Trump, it's, you know, going to be reacted to. You know, the number of people who thought that, for instance, we were Trump supporters, they would come up and say, oh, so who do you favor in the election? I'm going to guess Trump. And why would they say that? You know, just look at us. Do we look like Trump supporters? That was something, that was a warning sign. That was a big flare we should have paid more attention to. Also, around here, I know Hillary Clinton's not very popular, but I could not find a single Hillary Clinton sign. And that's a warning sign as well, that you couldn't see any signs for the other candidate, whereas we did see a handful, not a lot, but a handful of Trump signs. They were always disturbing when we did, because, you know, every time somebody put up a Trump sign, it wasn't just putting up a Trump sign. It was an in-your-face Trump sign with big American flags and basically a big middle finger to anybody passing by, cameras, warning signs, trespassers will be shot, that kind of thing, or a massive pickup truck that, like, cuts you off with a huge American flag flying. You know, things like that. So it's not just a simple, oh, this is my opinion. It's, this is my opinion, this is how it's going to be, and if you don't like it, you can leave, kind of thing.
Yeah, very intimidating and imposing.
And that's what we're going to be facing. That's going to be what's in power for the next 4 years, at least. That's not going to be a pleasant place. And, you know, we can get through it easily, you and I. But there are a lot of people who cannot. A lot of people who will be feeling the pain and the pressure quite a bit harder than we are. And we're feeling it badly, I think. I know almost everybody on Wednesday was in a state of shock around here. And in the city, it was just basically a bunch of zombies walking around and driving around, too, which was kind of dangerous. But you could see that people were affected by this, and they didn't know what to do because nobody saw this coming. I compared it to 9/11. A lot of people compared it to 9/11, and that might seem tasteless, but it's the same feeling. And when you have the same feeling, you compare it. Shock, you know, a sense of a profound loss, fear. In the end, you know, the body count will exceed 9/11. I can guarantee that. I mean, just look how many people George W. Bush is responsible for killing, you know, based on just invading countries he has no right invading and killing people for no reason at all. And I'm just talking about the Americans, all the people on the other side. It's a huge tragedy what it's lying ahead of us. There will be funny parts. There will be the comedy, but that's just going to keep us sane, I think.
A huge amount has gone into making things quiet and making calm and appeals heard for unity. That's been a big word that has been said in the last week. But it's very difficult, I think, when you really try to quantify what the implications of a Trump administration are. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not about him personally, even his style or any of that. It's about the institution and the people that will be validated in all kinds of ways that might not immediately affect you. But I also am looking for some hope, I guess, because we are going to we're going to have to deal with this. So those things that were promised, I know now, like all of the nastiness of the campaign is looked at as bringing up old things, but those promises are going to be something that people watch. And
I mean, like the wall, that promise,
everything.
It's all
better deals, better jobs, you name it. All that entire platform. What will be the ill effects, and then what of those good things will come to fruition?
I don't want to make it appear as if I feel or we feel that everybody who voted for Trump is evil. There are a number of really bad, evil people who did vote for Trump. I've seen a number of them myself, and we've heard of a number of them through other reports. But there are a lot of people out there who I think were misguided. You know, good people that just feel like they're not getting a fair shake. And, this is they didn't like Hillary Clinton or whatever. But I feel sorry for a lot of people, but I do feel sorry for them as well, because they will be screwed. They will be screwed badly. They are not getting jobs. They are not going to see their income increase. They're not going to see a better deal. They're going to see all kinds of bad things happen to them. They're going to realize the person that they put in power isn't going to do any of the things that he promised to do. He's already surrounding himself with Washington insiders, so you can throw that out the window. You really want a wall? That's not going to happen either. You name the promise, and I can explain why it's not going to happen. But other bad things will happen.
Yeah, and this is that calm moment. They're trying to get the quietness and everyone to calm down, but it's because it's a fragile moment, and they want this peaceful transition towards the unknown, a bunch of uncertainty as far as we're concerned.
Right.
And nobody wants to say anything, I guess, to really stick their neck out either.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about people that are public figures, but also private companies. You're not seeing a lot of resistance even from people that are powerful enough maybe to resist en masse or insulate themselves. So who is sticking up for the people? You see the president and some of the leadership, I think, Harry Reid and other people in the parts of our democracy, the functional parts are speaking out a little bit, and we're going to need more of that, because it's like a pendulum, you know, the power swinging back and forth. And so also the dynamics of it all, the loudness of everyone on, I would even say that especially the Trump side being so loud, that has quieted. We're now asking for everyone to be quiet and come together at a time when people want to go absolutely berserk, because they have no idea what's coming. When's that pendulum of noise going to come back up, and who's going to be around those people, and what is that going to swell into? Because unless there is actual real quantifiable results, you're going to have a lot of angry people on all kinds of sides unified, and they're going to be unified about a hell of a lot more than the crap that these Republican leaders and others are trying to get support space and time to develop.
Yeah, right? It's interesting, because people who are consider themselves Republicans are almost as uneasy as people who consider themselves Democrats or liberals at this stage, because Trump is a wild card. You don't know what he's going to do next, and he's made it clear that he's going to do things his way, which, you know, some people might think is a good thing, but if you don't know what you're doing, it can be a really bad thing. And we're talking about someone who now has the keys to the most powerful job in the world, a powerful office of the most powerful job in the world. And he's already done some pretty weird things, such as asking for top secret clearance for his kids.
Yeah, that'll...
What the hell? I mean, you know what top secret clearance... It's not just, you know, the password to get into a building or something like that. It's access to intelligence, all kinds of things. And these are people also with no political experience. We're just talking about people who run businesses and have a lot of money. And they're going to be the ones that that have all this access that the intelligence community typically has. It's going to be a disaster. I mean, literally, normally a right-wing Republican would be aghast at something like this, because literally the country is at stake here. One wrong word in the wrong place, or slipping of security codes or whatever, and you've compromised a whole lot, and it'll make WikiLeaks look like nothing if you have incompetent people given access to all this.
Yeah, I have a real problem with that. His adult children were not elected.
Absolutely not.
That distinction needs to be clear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge problem. I get that they're family, but that is what a cabinet is for. Okay, those are other people that have been vetted and have certain loyalties to the institution.
Mm-hmm.
But who are his adult children, really? I really hope they're held to a pretty... We'll probably talk more about this, but a pretty high standard as far as their loyalties and positions and where their interests may conflict, how that might be navigated. And on and on and on. I mean, it just raises monumental questions.
Looking at these people,
I don't trust them.
The 60 Minutes, I don't know if it's 60 Minutes or some other interview where they're all just kind of staring at us. It was like looking into the Death Star. These people are evil, and I don't mean to exaggerate it, but it's just something about, you know, when we were in Ukraine, walking around Kiev, we were able to distinguish between the two sides. The side... there are two groups of demonstrators right next to each other, the pro-Russian side and the pro-democracy side. The pro-democracy side was very open and gave us leaflets. As soon as we walked into the pro-Russia side, everybody was looking at us with suspicion and hostility, and we started getting followed. That's the side. I'm not saying pro-Russia. I'm saying the evil side is what just got put into power. That same feeling is there. And you can see it in all the interviews that were done with these people by any member of independent media. You would see the hostility that they had towards anybody that asked them questions, that actually challenged them. And I'm not saying the other side is perfect. They're far from perfect. In fact, that's their distance from being perfect is why they lost the election, obviously. But at least they were open to discussion and dialogue and differences of opinion. And at least the person who was running knew what she was doing. Even if she wasn't doing what you wanted her to do, at least you knew she knew what she was doing. Give her that much. You might think she's evil incarnate, but she knew what she was doing. This guy does not. And the thing is, a lot of his supporters say that's a good thing. You know, incompetence is a good thing. And how do you argue that? How do you argue with somebody that says, yeah, it's good to have somebody, a fresh face that knows absolutely nothing about anything. Let's start from scratch. It doesn't work that way. My God. We're talking about the most powerful nation on earth. We're talking about nuclear weapons like you've never seen before. We're talking about all kinds of things that, I mean, you saw it on his face. You saw it on Trump's face when he was meeting with Obama. He was just kind of, I've never seen him like this, kind of blown away when I think it might be the first time he realized what he had gotten himself into. And you could also see it on Obama's face, just kind of like trying to teach a child who thinks he knows everything, and like, okay, well, I've done everything I can do. Guess you're going to see what it's like now. It's funny, but it's not funny. You know?
No. Nobody's laughing. I think humor is going to be a scarce resource, and we'll all huddle around it for warmth.
It's going to be a necessary resource, absolutely. But we have to focus on the positive. And you know what the most positive thing that happened in this last week was?
The most positive thing that happened in this last week was...
Well, it's not a contest. You should have had an answer when you began the sentence. You should have had an answer already. So you can't think of anything. Well, I can think of something. Yes, the new Tribe Called Quest album was released.
Oh yeah, hey, the new Tribe Called Quest album, it's out. And
do you know that in this particular song that I'm going to play a snippet of here, they mention USB?
Now, do they mention us personally?
Of course. What other USB could there be? It's Busta Rhymes, in fact, breaks out and mentions USB. Here, let's listen for a little bit. In the world where my princess is player, ain't she feeling my Vader? And my lore grows greater and greater. Kim trails, dropping poisonous vapors. Have you shaking like Gator? Been chill, nigga, process the data. Blu-ray, wave, follow a beta. I DVR for later. Copper Masa with a G to Mueda. You can't define us X, Y, Z. It's a generational elitist. Have you cheating virtual think pieces? See these written words from medical science. Brains defiant, thoughts heavy, baby, they're a major appliance. Leave a tad when dropping to flyness, do a giant. Dude's nice, he tight screwed in with some pliers. Cool with some buyers, yeah, nigga, cool with some growers. Never know tattletales, only I don't know us. Yeah, show me generation, show us what you gon' show us. So listen, mommy, CV, could collude with a boy. Mouthpiece like coins with a jubilant noise. Dude's rude and as useless as coins. Shoot them boys, verse then rehearse in the soothing of loins. Talk to Joey Earl, Kendrick Cole, gatekeepers afloat. They are extensions of instinct. Instinctual soul is the highest of commodity grade, and you can get it today. One hit and reading pages of Poe. Telly is low, cuddle bunny ready to go. Day of the dead, bury all the zombies instead. And it's just your aftermath, Buster cutting your dreads. Bruce Lee and niggas, Ryo niggas, UFC. Smoke trio niggas, sizzle out your USB. There, you heard it? USB right there.
Wow, he's talking about USB.
It's good to be acknowledged finally. Thank you, Buster Rhymes, for that on the new Tribe Called Quest album. The song is This Generation. And that made my week. In fact, we saw SNL. Tribe Called Quest was on SNL. And I think it was the best episode of that show ever. A tribute to Leonard Cohen, to Fife, to America. And it just made me feel like there is a degree of hope.
Yeah.
A certain degree of hope. And you know, Dave Chappelle was the host this week. And he said something that I thought was kind of... apropos and relevant and adult. Basically, we should give Donald Trump a chance, right? I mean, basically, this guy has been elected now. He's now our president, so we should give him a chance. So I pledge right here, right now, to give Donald Trump a chance after the election to prove that he is not a jerk.
Really?
What's this? Steve Bannon? Really? Steve Bannon is going to be his chief strategist? That's who he selected? A white nationalist? This is going to be one of the most powerful people in the country?
Oh, you didn't know that?
I just opened that tab now. You saw me. That was his chance. I gave him a chance. Right here, I gave him a chance.
No,
first,
I
gave him a chance last year. Blew that chance. I gave him a chance earlier this year. That was gone. And I just gave him a chance now just because of what Dave Chappelle said. And... wow, Steve Bannon, did you, words fail me. This is the guy he's going to rely upon. I mean, look, you know what a chief strategist is? It's like, okay, let's say you're a football team, all right? You have a coach. The person tells you what plays to run and when it's time for a commercial and things like that. That's the guy in charge. That's the guy telling you, the team, what to do. And Trump is like a football team, I guess. And Steve Bannon is like the damn coach.
Nah, Trump is like a...
he's like a football... I don't know what he is. But the point is, this guy...
We were
oh
all
God,
thinking
Steve
it.
Bannon...
We were all thinking it. Yeah. So...
look at this.
That is... wow.
The Southern Poverty Law Center is a national organization dedicated to fighting back against hate and bigotry. They're going to have to expand their offices.
I'm telling you, it was hard to think of a good thing this week.
Shortly following that announcement of Steve Bannon, they launched a petition to protest his decision, declare that Bannon, who's a chairman at the Breitbart News Network, has no business in the White House. Yeah, I agree. Not even business as a visitor. That guy should be kept away from D.C. And Breitbart News Network, okay, you know what? Now it's all starting to make sense. Google News actually directed me to Breitbart News Network before. I was reading stories. I have the story right here about the demonstrations in Portland. And for some reason on Google News, this is listed as an authority. And the story is filled with the hatred you would expect from Breitbart. Majority arrested in Portland, anti-Trump protests didn't vote. Yeah.
Oh, that sounds true. That's got to be true.
Yeah, well, it's on Breitbart. It's got to be true. You're right.
No, you read Breitbart? Breitbart News?
It's just such a horrible name to start with. But, I mean, going to this website, oh, it's, I've got pop-ups playing now. I probably have malware. This is terrible. But the news story that I'm trying to read, despite their attempts to get me to read ads, more than 50% of anti-Trump protesters arrested in Portland in the days following the election did not bother to vote. A search of state election records was conducted by a Portland television station, which reported that of the 112 protesters that were arrested, 69 of them could not be found to have turned in a ballot or not registered to vote in the Beaver State. Okay, wait a minute. You have people that have been arrested for protesting. They have not been convicted of a crime. And right away, we're looking into their history and their private lives and things like that. That bothers me right there. Okay. And whether or not they voted, that's their business. All right. If they voted or not. But you don't know where they're from. You don't know if they're from Oregon. They could have been from Washington. They could be. There's all kinds of. Maybe they're using a different name, or maybe there's too many people with that name. There is just no way that a TV station or anybody can go online and find out quickly if somebody voted. And, you know, whether or not they did is beside the point. They still have the right to protest. What are they saying here? That if you don't, maybe they were too young to vote. You ever think of that? Maybe they don't have citizenship in this country. I'm sure you'd love that as well. There's all kinds of reasons. Or maybe they just felt like there was nothing worth voting for. But that doesn't mean you don't have the right to protest against something that happens as a result of the people who did vote.
As long as you want, for as loud and as visible and active an action you can muster, right? I mean, in perpetuity, that's part of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope more actions like that surface, so the noise level, because we are going to have to, you know, look at policies and things that need attention, and where we actually get authority and can support that scrutiny is on us to create and support that institution to hold some kind of standard for reporting or any kind of scrutiny. To really go over all these various issues and things that are affecting people's, that will affect people's lives and if they are not now. I don't know. There's also other ways, I think, in your everyday life. Like, I think the instinct, and I felt this a lot this week, was to kind of put your nose down. A lot of people, you kind of back off from the whole campaigning thing, and you want to, like, just go to work on the things that you have to do at your job or in your everyday life. And there are little ways, little choices you can make that add up, and they are significant. And those people around you, like, we hang out. We know we're around a lot of Republicans, of course, more than we probably realize. Or we do, you know, we do take notice. Like, you were talking about the things that we had picked up on that was kind of alarming as far as what people were buying from this campaign cycle. So it's good like you said, give him a chance. I think that's something. But
no, I gave him a chance. He blew it. He no longer has a chance. I'm sorry. With this Breitbart Bannon thing, it's so disturbing. It's so disturbing. I'm reading the comments now. That's why
I can't even really
kinda,
say
kind of quiet here.
It doesn't really work.
No.
The chances I think are over.
These comments are even uglier than the site itself.
Yeah, are we still talking about the protests? I just want to see more dynamic, because I think a lot of people are going to have stuff to say in the future, the way this will go.
You know, people tell me not to read the comments, and, you know, I can understand why it keeps you sane, but maybe maybe I should have been reading the comments, because those are the people that are now in charge, the people who say things like it's time for a firing squad, or these people need to be locked up, or the FBI has to infiltrate these groups, or all kinds of horrible things like that. You know, there was a memorial for the guy who got murdered in Patchogue a couple of weeks ago. It was an immigrant who was murdered simply because he was an immigrant. Basically, it was a hate crime, and it was a real shameful act that that scarred the island. And there was a memorial service for him. 100% of the comments on Newsday were against. I don't know what they were against. They were against him, the guy who got killed. They were against anyone from Central America. They were against a memorial. And you can believe they were all pro-Trump. And you might say, okay, just don't read that. But you know what? You don't read it, and things like last Tuesday happen. All right, the ugliness sneaks up on you, and before you know it, it's surrounding you. So yeah, you should read it. You should read it. You should drown it out with facts, with intelligence, with civility. We have our work cut out for us, because this is the reality that we now have to live in.
Yeah, and it is definitely all around us, constantly. And I think so. Those little actions, those little ways you can affect change in your work, in your life, I think are going to be important. And that is I think what people are looking toward for guidance and how we can cooperate, if at all.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I would like to read you something else that that someone sent us, though, because you know, there's different views on all this. There's different opinions on how we should deal with it. And this is something that's been making its way around the net. Among the general public, there is a growing feeling that an attempt should be made to bring Trump into the government, Trump and his people, before their strength has increased any further. They argue that once Trump participates in the government, he'll become more moderate, and at the same time, his political ascendancy will be curbed, because in the nature of things, people will find it impossible to keep the numerous promises, or he'll find it impossible to keep the numerous promises made in the course of the recent election campaign. Now, if Donald Trump becomes the dominant factor in whatever government is put together in the next couple of months, it will mark the high point of his movement that has developed from a joke to the greatest political power in the country. Sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, normalize a little bit, and he'll calm down. Except what I've just read, actually, I changed a few words around, was from the New York Times, April 1932. I'll read what it actually says. Among the German centrists, there is a growing feeling that an attempt should be made to bring the Nazis into the government before their strength has increased any further. They argue that once the Nazis participate in the government, they will become more moderate, and at the same time, their political ascendancy will be curbed, because in the nature of things, they will find it impossible to keep the numerous promises made in the course of the recent election campaigns. If Herr Hitler becomes the dominant factor in a coalition ruling Prussia, it will mark the high point of the fascist movement he has developed from a joke to the greatest political power in the Reich. Yeah, I know, you compare people to Hitler and to Nazis, it's considered a bad thing. There are too many parallels here to ignore them. The populism, the outlandish attacks, the racism, the hatred,
xenophobia.
Total xenophobia. it's not something that has not happened before. It is something that hasn't happened before in this country. So we might not be familiar with it. Others in the rest of the world are. They recognize this. And they might have some warnings for us that we should listen to.
Yeah, entitlement to something you're deserved more so than others. That virulent racism and overt nationalism and total indifference to the nature of globalism and the actual world we live in.
Yeah.
To a fault.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that is striking how similar it is, though. I'm really glad you brought the comparison to light for
It's disturbing
for our listeners.
It's disturbing.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things to be concerned with.
Yeah, it's not like you're just making a joke and, you know, haha. No, this is real.
Yeah, we're going to have to make a lot of jokes, but just to stay sane. But there's a lot not to laugh at here, and it's crazy because so much of this is on a nationwide scale. So much of it is on a local scale. Get this: conservative donor Rebecca Mercer. She's the daughter of major political donor Robert Mercer. She will be joining Trump's White House transition team. That was announced on Friday. Robert Mercer is co-CEO of the hedge fund Renaissance Technologies of East Setauket, right up the hill.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
He switched his allegiance to Trump after Senator Ted Cruz quit the race in May. Now, in June, Mercer, his wife and daughter began to contribute to Trump's presidential campaign. Rebecca Mercer, a former Wall Street trader at that time, contributed $449,400. Why that amount? To Trump Victory, a joint fundraising committee with the Republican National Committee.
It's like safely under $500,000 or something.
Robert and Rebecca Mercer encouraged Trump early in the campaign to drop former campaign chairman Paul Manafort for Stephen Bannon, head of the website Breitbart News. So, folks, you want to protest, you want to demonstrate, right here. You don't have to go far, right here. East Setauket, Renaissance Technologies, those guys helped, or at least the people that run those guys helped. And they need to hear your voice. They really do. It's insane how insidious this whole thing is and how it's basically popped up every place. Or you can wait. You can wait till bad things start to happen. You can wait till people start getting kicked out of the country because of where they're from or because of how they look, or we start endorsing hate crimes. Already there have been a whole number, over 200 instances of hate crimes against various people, people wearing headscarves, people who are South American, gay people, you name it. Everyone is scared. Everyone is very... fearful of what might happen next. And nothing is really being said to counter it. Yeah, you saw Donald Trump on 60 Minutes saying, stop it, to the camera. Okay, it's great if the camera guy was doing something, but it's really not going to resonate with anybody else. Stop it? Stop what? You know? you can't even define the hatred that your organization has unleashed. And I don't think he has any clue as to the effect that his candidacy has had.
Yeah, like the weight of it and the breadth of validation for that kind of hate. It's he has no clue. He is oblivious to the impact that it has had, and that the spirit that that will be brought to any kind of resistance, and that's problematic. That does not put people in an equal playing field or in any kind of empowered position as an opposing force. Like you need that to push the discourse, and if you can't, if it's only going to be one way, it's closer to monarchy and other forms of rule. And people have a lot to say about this, and the, I don't know. I think the force of being right isn't deserved, and it's going to have that sort of broad. It will wield itself out in sort of ways it cannot control.
Well, if you have something to say, we're going to open up our phone line 631-632-6901. We would like to hear. Voices of people out there, whether you agree with us or not, if you have any questions or feelings, if you're driving, just pull over or use a hands-free device or whatever. 631-632-6901, as our country stands on the precipice of something. It's we should have done more predicting. We should have done more what-ifs, because I think that might have woken some people up.
Yeah, we needed more... numbers, more charts and graphs. We were too little too late with our in-depth political coverage here.
Yeah, but absolutely.
We did our best. And, well, looks like we're going to be talking about it for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah. But USB will remain here to be a forum for people to voice their opinions and engage in dialogue. We have to go into delay, though, in order to make that possible. So let me throw some buttons and switches here, and hopefully we'll get there in one piece.
Hi, I'm Gary Newman. You're listening to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, where machines rock.
Well, here we are in delay land. Forgive me, I have to wait a couple of seconds to make sure that we actually made it into delay land, because, well, delay is in the future. It looks like we did, but I think we only made it in one channel.
We're in delay land.
Hang on, you're not in delay land yet. Now you're in delay land.
Yeah, we made it.
Well, we made it, but I'm not sure if this is the way I want to be in delay. Well, it's going to have to do for now. Let's take a phone call. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Wow, you're loud. It's going good.
I'm actually a Trump supporter, and I'm going to call in, so I kind of wanted to call in and say why I was voting for Trump and why there's actually some really good things in the news right now because of it.
Okay, let's hear it.
Well, number one, there's a report, I don't know what the site was, but as you know, Trump is not exactly pro-war like Hillary was. He's actually relatively anti-war compared to Hillary.
Okay, well, you know, that's a real stretch. I don't see any evidence that he's not going to start bombing places left and right as soon as they piss him off, but I'll agree to wait to see what happens when he has power.
Yeah, you got a point. I mean, again, you're right. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, when, you know, things, you know, we'll see what happens. But, obviously, he's de-escalating the situation in Syria. He's letting Russia, you know, and, you know, Assad stay in power, which I frankly agree with. Less war is better.
But hold on. Less war is better? You see what's happening in Syria? You consider that less war? I mean, we're talking about 500,000 people being killed and tens of millions of people being displaced. Have you seen pictures of Aleppo lately? I mean, I don't know why people want to even stay there. There's nothing there. But
that is
not less war.
I have seen it, and that's really all Hillary's doing.
How is that Hillary's doing?
I
just don't understand how Hillary gets blamed for everything. How is, you know, she's blamed for toppling a stable regime in Libya. Libya, the country that we were enemies with forever. And when Gaddafi is driven out of power, somehow the instability that follows is her fault. It just seems like no matter what happens anywhere, she's to blame for it.
Well, she was Secretary of State, am I correct?
Right, but that doesn't mean she's the Secretary of the State of the World. She represents our interests to the best of her ability.
And I guess you can, you know, yeah, I mean, if you want to, you know, blame Obama for it, I mean, that was his policy. If you remember, he actually went to war with Libya before there was even a vote in Congress. He just said, well, this is what we're doing, and sorry, Congress, you know?
Well, it just seems really weird to be blaming Obama for wars after George W. Bush. I mean, does he just get a free pass for the thousands and thousands of people that died as a result of his ignorance?
No, he does not get a free pass, and that's frankly, that's why Obama won in, was it 2008, I guess? And I think that's why Hillary lost, is because, you know, she abandoned those, you know, liberal principles that and I think that's why she lost.
Well, you know, again, we're gonna have to check in 6 months or so and see if there's any troops on the ground in places where there aren't any now. I suspect there might be. I suspect that the hawkishness is going to go way up. But
yeah, but there was a report where I think the DEFCON was lower to like DEFCON 3, which is like the lowest that it can, you know, possibly go because of this de-escalation and improved, if that's what you want to call it, relations with Syria and Russia. So that was my point. You know, that's why I was, I mean, there's no way I was going to vote for Hillary. She's, you know, a warmonger. Trump, he says he's not. I tend to believe it. You know, hopefully I'm right.
I hope you're right, too. I really do.
Yeah, but hey, listen, guys, I like your show. You know, you guys always talk about interesting stuff. You know, when you went to Europe, you know, really good stuff, guys.
Well, we may be there again for a while, but we'll keep people updated. But thanks for your call. Thanks for listening.
All right. You're very welcome.
Take care. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Hello?
Hey,
yes, what's on your mind?
My name is Mike. I don't know, I feel that you haven't done your homework on Hillary, though, and her background.
You know, I'm not here to defend Hillary. I'm really not. But as far as I'm concerned, you pick any local store, okay? And anybody who works in any of those local stores, I think, would be more qualified to be in the White House than Donald Trump. That's what I'm concerned about. Hillary, not the nicest person, and I know she rubs people the wrong way, and there's a whole lot I disagree with her about, but at least she knew what she was doing.
I like her. She didn't seem to help anybody, you know, in her background and those emails and, you know.
Again, the emails. What do the emails show other than her doing her job? And, okay, using something she wasn't supposed to use. Okay, you know, how many times do we have to go over this? Let's see Donald Trump's emails. I want to see what he's saying behind the scenes. I want to see his tax return. Are we ever going to see that?
Yeah, well, she's not that honest also with her money.
No, I would, you know, I don't think there's a single politician anywhere who's honest with their money. But I just don't think it's right that Trump doesn't get to be exposed in the same way. You know, I want to see this information. I want to learn the truth about him. And the people that are now being brought into power, it's kind of scary.
But don't you think if Bernie was going against Trump, he would have won?
That's in my dream world. Yes, that would have happened, and that's I hope that the Democrats learn something from this and put forth a better candidate this time. We can blame all kinds of people. We can blame the DNC. We can blame Hillary. We can blame the people who didn't vote. But in the end, we're going to have to remobilize and do a better job of putting forth a candidate that people believe in. I completely agree with that. Right now, though, the focus is on what do we do now? What's going to happen next?
I have to wait and see. Protesting isn't helping anybody.
How is protesting not helping, though? I mean, you have to protest when you disagree with something. You know, it's expressing yourself. It's healthy. It's what this nation was founded on.
It's not going to change anything. If people were protesting against Hillary.
You know, Donald Trump, I can't believe I'm quoting Donald Trump. Donald Trump said the system was rigged and that it couldn't be changed. And look what he did. He got past it by getting all these people together. So if he deserves credit for anything, it's for proving that people power does work sometimes. Anyway, I'm going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. Thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
And let us now gracefully leave delay. And here I am back in both channels.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Well, interesting. We can carry on this conversation a whole lot. And there's a lot to talk about with the Electoral College. And, you know, she did win the popular vote. There's they're saying it's going to be by 4 million when it's all counted. We have to check in on that as well. There's so much to talk about. We'll be talking about that aspect of it a little bit more tomorrow night on Off the Hook. But for now, we are out of time, and you're not going to be here next week because you're going south.
Yeah, I'm going on a trip.
Well, guess what? We're preempted anyway, so yeah, I outsmarted you. There's a jazzathon next Tuesday.
Oh, phooey.
Yeah, so we'll be back again in 2 weeks. Actually, you might still be on your way back then, but irregardless, we'll be back on the radio, and USB will be here as well. And there's going to be all kinds of things to talk about and share. Write to us, otw@2600.com. This is for Leonard. This is from Leonard. Good night.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those gnats in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay. Democracy is coming to the USA. kitchen to determine who will serve and who will eat. From the wells of disappointment where the women kneel to pray for the grace of God in the desert here, in the desert far away. Democracy is coming to the USA.
I'm Gary Newman. You're listening to 90.1 FM WUSB Stony Brook, where machines rock.
Hello, this is James Newton, and I'm giving a very strong recommendation to WUSB in Stony Brook. And that's where you want to be.
I'm asking you a question. Are you staying or are you going to be arrested? You're violating the law. You just got a lawful order. Leave.
Hi, my name is Naomi Wolf, and you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
Yeah, kids, this is Finn on WUSB Stony Brook. Hello, friends. And we have a couple of special things going on tonight. We have an interview with Mike Watt, the great bass player from the Minutemen and Firehose and the Stooges and a whole bunch of bands. And this is Radiothon week. So, we're going to be having some special premiums. Going to his new album called Ringspiel Live 95 shall be available for a $25 pledge to this station. I have two of those courtesy of Mr. Watt. And I also have the brand new, Bob Dylan 36-disc box set for $130 pledge, which is the actual cost of the box set. And all of that money comes to WUSB Stony Brook. It's an opened box set, but you can give me a call right now and make a pledge of $130 to WUSB Stony Brook for that 36-CD box set for a pledge of $130, which is the actual value, plus all the money goes to WUSB. Can't get it cheaper anywhere else. So give us a call, 631-632-6901. That's 631-632-6901. And I think we're going to hear a little something right now from that box set. This is the very first track on CD number one from April 1966. It's all his live recordings, all Bob Dylan's live recordings from 1966. 36 CDs. You do the math. It's a little less than 36 hours because some of them are like 48 minutes, but some of them are 60 minutes. And that's how the shows were done back then. And you can get this entire box set, all 36 CDs for $130 pledge to WUSB Stony Brook, which is the actual cost of the CD box set. And that way, WUSB gets all the scratch. 631 800-332-6901. Make a pledge to WUSB right now and credit card, and I will ship this little baby out to you tomorrow. 631-632-6901. Here's the first track from the first CD of the brand new Bob Dylan Live 1966 box set. Just came out last week. This is She Belongs to Me, right here on WUSB Stony Brook, 631-632-6901.
Anything she sees, you will start out standing proud to steal her anything she sees. But you will wind up peeking through her keyhole down upon your knees. She never stumbles, she got no place to fall. She never stumbles, she got no place to fall. She's nobody's child, the law can't touch her at all. She wears an Egyptian red ring, it sparkles before she speaks. She wears an Egyptian red ring, it sparkles before she speaks. She's a hypnotist collector, you are a walking antique. Sunday, salute her when her birthday comes. Bow down to her on Sunday, salute her when her birthday comes. For Halloween, give her a trumpet, and for Christmas, buy her a drum.